brothers and sisters, today's episode has a sweet spot to it that happened just last week. So this recording you're hearing is all the way back from 2025. It's my recording to a brother in New Zealand named Elvin. Now, at the time I'm making this recording to him, Elvin and I had traded a number of email messages for several years, perhaps dozens and dozens of recordings back and forth to each other. And so I want you to know that when you hear this recording, I'm very familiar with his story. He's very familiar with me. He's a man who had humbled himself. He saw that I was in possession of something in my faith and the peace in my heart that he was not, although he loved God, believed in Jesus Christ, and he came and he humbled himself and he was willing to hear some really difficult truths come from me in correcting where he had been. Now, this recording that you hear is 5 years ago. 5 years later, in fact, just I think it was last week, I received a really beautiful recording from Elvin. And it's a recording that makes him sound almost like a completely different person, much to your encouragement and strengthening that if you persevere, God will not give up on you if you simply do sincerely what you know to do in order to obey him and you keep faith and you keep going on and you keep walking through the darkness, your heart, the way you feel can change. It's really incredible and beautiful for me to think back on how many recordings Elvin and I traded about his frustration that his life was not working like he had expected it to based upon the type of faith that he was having in God, most of which was rooted in a very prosperity type so that if I obey God, if I have faith, he will bless me in my business, bless me in my career, bless me in my finances, and I can be a good provider for my family and a growing family at that. So there was all the pressure and Elvin was experiencing a lot of very disheartening, frustrating experiences in his life, in his living situation, is it in his employment, in the relationships that he had with people he was working with. He was being frustrated on all points. Knowing that I had labeled myself the chief of all fools in my autobiography, he took it upon himself to call himself one time the chief of all grumblers, because he would start to grumble against God over and over again about his situation and about money and about why do other people succeed and have prosperity and I can't? Why are other people at other churches having, you know, good circumstances financially and being blessed of the Lord and I'm not? And so he was constantly feeling weary of watching the prosperity of the wicked while he's trying to hold on to God with everything he has in his faith and figure out, why is God not giving me that kind of prosperity? So he began to grumble. And I would tell him that you cannot ever find peace in God. You'll never find his blessing and you'll never move forward until you stop grumbling against God like this. You have to relax and trust him. So he would fight his way to do this. But again, just this past week, I received a message that sounded like a completely different person. And he wanted me to know that he had gotten past all that grumbling and complaining against God. And I could hear a peace and a life in this brother's heart that I hadn't heard in all those years back when I was making recordings. This is such a beautiful, beautiful testimony to encourage some of you who might be now stuck years in frustrating circumstances, wondering if God will ever change the way you feel about him or the way you feel about it. It's a testimony that shows us and reminds us of the need to persevere and to do as sincerely as you can what you know to do in order to obey God now. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to persevere in him. Continue to hope in him, continue to follow and practice the example that I'm giving even in my recordings. And that's what Elvin did. And it was such a refreshing blessing to hear how different he sounded in his recording these years later, having surrendered the prosperity expectations of his life over to the Lord and trusting the Lord would be good to him and give him exactly what he and his wife needed. And there was a contentment that is something that not all the money in the world can ever give you. Brothers and sisters, may God bless you to persevere if you too are in a time of disciplining or a time of testing. But here's another reminder of how faithful our God is for those who will persevere in faith and wait just a little bit longer. May God bless you as you listen. Hello, my dear brother. I have not spoken a message to you in a long time, and I have not answered many of your emails, but that does not mean that I have not thought about you. I really believe that the Lord has had me be a little bit more silent in your life for a reason. If I don't have anything to say, I won't say it. And I really feel, Elvin, that the Lord has put me in a position where I was able to say, I've pretty much said to you all I can say, and the rest is up to you to work it out and strive to enter the narrow gate, brother. And so I want you to know that's really what I believe, is that anytime I would want to make a recording for you, I wouldn't have anything to say. It would be like the Lord would stop me, like everything that needed to be said has already been said. And now it's just a matter of you to put it into practice. You've heard the word, and now you have to retain it and persevere in it in order to produce a good fruit. And, you know, I really trust God with you, man. And the only thought that I had for you during this period of silence, where I've received a few emails from you, is the issue of faith and being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. I think that a lot of your, what we've called grumbling, and this, you know, kind of complaining that you've gone through about your situation and money issues and the Salvation Army and all of that stuff, this all results from a real lack of faith. So when you are seeing these things through the eye of faith, you are at rest in these things. For example, I'm again going through something that most people would say is absolutely excruciatingly difficult. I shared it at a breakfast table just yesterday morning with a friend of mine. He just put his head down and he started shaking. And see, I said, brother, lift your head up. Everything is okay. See, he sees it through the natural eye. I'm seeing it through faith. And that's how I have continued to be able to go through all of the things that God is pleased to allow me to go through and still have so much time in my life and room in my heart for other people. For example, just yesterday I went, or day before yesterday, I went to the Starbucks here that I normally go to, drove a long way to it. It's a kind of a newer one that I enjoy. And I got there and it was closed. It's grab and go. You can just go inside. I walked in, all the tables and chairs are put away, and I'm going, man, what are you guys closed? Are you cleaning? What's going on? Oh, Michael, I was going to, you know, email you. I thought about you a couple of days ago, the manager. And so we ended up standing outside for about 20 minutes. Most of the people that work there are homosexual, and they have seen me and they've seen how I behave. They know that I have faith in Christ. They see my False God Challenge shirts or my YouTube shirts that I wear. They know, they've, a couple of them have seen my story, and I'm always nice to them and I love them. Anyhow, I had the opportunity to stand outside for 20 minutes and passionately declare my faith in God in the face of all this coronavirus fears. And I got to share with her the whole gospel. And I got to tell her, and I started off by saying, listen, I'm a God-fearing Christian, and I trust my God is sovereign and in control, and He is a God of love, and whatever He allows to happen is for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Brother, that is, and then I got to share the whole gospel with her and plead with her, go home and get that Bible out and read it. She had grown up in the church, and of course, hypocrisy had its way with her. And I said, do you have a Bible? She says, yes. I said, I plead with you, get right with God. There is not a whole lot of time left to do so. Things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And the time will come, it'll be too late. Go home, get in your Bible. You're going to have a lot of time at home. Read of Jesus, put your hope and faith in Him, and see what He said about how to live life in Him. So I am telling you this as an example of seeing everything through the eye of faith. And so all of your anxiety is seeing it through your natural eye of human understanding and a lack of faith. This is clearly one of the biggest struggles that you have, is a lack of faith. You're hearing the Word of God. You love the Word of God. You want the Word of God. You want the things of God. You want to be fruitful for God. Now you have to have faith. See, so God might say to you, how could you ever believe me to do amazing things in and through your life on behalf of New Zealanders if I can't get you to believe right now that I'm using Salvation Army and your lack of finances and this season of nothingness for your good? Until you have the faith to believe that. Brother, I tell you the truth, when you listen to the Trusting God in the Wilderness series, what you hear is a man who's very open and transparent about all of the difficulties and sufferings he is facing. But what you hear is constantly, but nevertheless, I'm going to trust God. But I know that God is allowing this to happen for a reason. But I know that God is at work in this. But I know that God is going to turn this for my good. But I know that God is aware of everything that's happening. You hear faith. That's what you hear. So I have just as difficult or more difficult circumstances than you in the trusting God in the wilderness. And yes, I have tears. And yes, I have suffering. But listen, what is the heart of trusting God in the wilderness? Faith. No matter what happens, that guy is not going to fail in his faith. No matter what happens, he's going to trust God. And I don't know how to tell you how to get faith. I don't know. It's deeply mysterious. Why do I trust God so much? And why do you struggle so much? Why do other people struggle trusting God so much? I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. Why do I desire him so much and other people don't? I don't know. I don't understand that. But I know that if you'll bring a mustard seed of believing God, he can grow it into a mountain. Because that happened in my life. And I know that faith is a gift, but it takes faith to receive it. How about that for a paradox or an irony? Faith is a gift from God, but it takes faith to receive it. You have to have faith to believe for faith. I mean, it's really that simple. God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And see, that's another theme that you hear in trusting God in the wilderness. If you listen very carefully, you hear a theme of faith and you hear there's a joy set before this guy. This guy knows that all of this has a good purpose and that there's going to be some kind of a serious reward at the end of this. There is going to be some kind of glory for God at the end of this. Go listen. Listen and hear how often you hear faith in these messages. And listen how often you hear this man believing that God is going to reward him for diligently seeking him. And even though you hear sometimes my faith gets back down to the size of a mustard seed, Lord, I want to quit. It would be so easy to quit. The most recent episodes, I'm talking about how tempting it would be to just quit. And at one point I say, it's so easy for me to quit and yet I can't. And I say, there's something, a force inside of me that's 10 times stronger than my desire to quit. Well, brother, what I said is proven to be true. I never quit because that faith inside of me, God was keeping me. God gave me all this grace to keep me going. Well, listen to the fact that you're still going. That means God has given you some kind of grace, even though you've really have given him, I would think you would admit, a very puny amount of faith oftentimes, right? I think you've really struggled with faith. You may have bigger muscles in the gym than I do, but brother, we're not going to heaven based on our muscle size, right? I mean, you have to see, I would be one of the larger guys in the gym. If we were looking at spiritually, I was thinking about it yesterday. Everybody wants to get ripped. They call it getting ripped physically, when we should desire to be ripped spiritually, to have very large faith muscles. And you don't get that without lots of practice. And you don't get large muscles in the gym without having a sense of faith that if I go put in all this effort, I'm going to yield a result. There's going to be a reward to this. How much more important with God? So that's, I think, the message. The only message that has resonated with the Spirit of God for you is that you're struggling in your faith. And again, I've now brought this to your attention. You have to work that out, brother. You have to work that faith out. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You know this. You know everything I'm telling you. But knowing it and doing it are two totally different things. And doing it for a few moments versus doing it consistently day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That's where faith is developed. That's where faith is proven. That's where faith is established as strong, vibrant, God-pleasing faith that can actually move mountains. Over years of being willing to suffer through tiny faith and being able to continue to press forward and persevere in faith and continue to believe God for more faith, these are so critical to growing and maturing in Christ and having this vibrant relationship. I find every day almost God gives me something to challenge my faith or to believe Him by faith for. My whole life is being lived by faith. Truly, if the righteous live by faith, I can say, wow, praise the Lord, I'm actually living by faith. I have to be sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see virtually every day about something. So it doesn't go away. God doesn't say, oh, yes, Michael, you have such strong faith. You clearly have believed me for anything and everything. And so now you're done. No, I pray God never lets me be done, that I keep working and growing all the way to the end. It's like a bodybuilder saying, oh, man, I've gotten to the size and the body temp, you know, the body size I want, and the muscle size I want, the chest size I want, and, you know, my body fat percentage I want. And now I can just quit. No, if you quit, you're going back to skinny mini. So, yes, brother, this is what I feel for you. And I just pray that you get this and that you continue to grow in this and that you do whatever you can to inspire and preserve and protect your faith. You can't do this just by listening to, you know, messages. You have to actually do it. You have to actually show it to God. And, you know, everybody has something they're weak at. It's a wonderful place to receive the grace of God, and He can give you the grace, and you know it. And brother, that's all I have to say on that. I know that I think I've said everything there is that can be said. And again, the responsibility is on you. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so brother, on a lighter note, you said, I'm a celebrity servant. And I have to tell you, I completely reject that idea. And it's very ironic that you would mention this, because just yesterday at breakfast, I told a friend about this idea that I have had. For years, I've had these thoughts of ministering personally to celebrities because I see the lives they live and I see the having gained the whole world and lost their soul. It's written on their forehead like a bumper sticker. And I went to high school with one of the best athletes that's ever lived, the 11-time world surfing champion, Kelly Slater. And for years, I had dreams about running back into him and being able to share the gospel with him. And he doesn't believe in any moral absolutes. He's just living his life totally by instinct and by flesh. And he's doomed to hell. And he was... I liked him. We got into a fight, but he did good by me, and you know, we reconciled and all that kind of stuff. So bottom line is, I have thought about doing messages through YouTube directly to celebrities based on interview clips I've seen of them where they say certain things about their faith or about their life or what have you. And that I would reach through with a personal message to them and just write, you know, dear Kelly Slater from Michael, dear Taylor Swift from Michael, or dear Taylor Swift from God, you know, something like that. And to write messages, or rather to speak messages to them. And even if it didn't reach them, that perhaps it would reach some of their followers and people could hear the gospel and people could see the frivolousness of pursuing happiness in this life, and so forth and so on, and all the arguments I would make in the case for Christ, et cetera, et cetera. So it's funny that you mentioned that. And part of my premise was that I am not a celebrity, that I am not known. And, you know, if you think of celebrity Christians, brother, I am not one of those at all. You're your guy
Living Waters. I forget his name right off the top of my head. Ray Comfort. This guy is a celebrity Christian, and many others. If you notice, my face is rarely even in my messages because I have no desire to be known. I have no desire to be known. I could be making all kinds of messages right now. I just made a recording about it this morning with this coronavirus topic, as big as it is. I had no idea that I would be sharing a private Bible study where I simply mentioned this to my son. Lord moved me to do that. And I could think of so many other messages to do around coronavirus to try to ramp up response and, you know, get my name out there. And God's not having me do that. Instead, I'm going to stay focused on this little old behind the scenes program that doesn't even make it to YouTube, trusting God in the wilderness, and just do the work my Father has asked me to do. And let me decrease and Him increase. And no, brother, YouTube is, I'm nothing on YouTube. The two preachers, those guys are celebrities. Jason A., of course, nobody even knows who he is, but, you know, those guys are more like that. And I think how I get to have this private life where nobody knows me. I just met with a subscriber who drove up from Florida last week, which happens rarely. And so I get to live this alone life. And so I'm nobody to any of my neighbors. I'm nobody to anybody around me. Just Mike, the neighbor guy who lives in the tiny house. And I'm not known to anybody. YouTube is an illusion. It's an illusion that makes you look like you're somebody when you're not. You know, if I were a celebrity, then I'd be out there on that stage in front of all these churches and constantly out doing interviews and talking to people. And man, I have absolutely less than 0% of desire to do that. So my brother, you know, I do care an awful lot about you and your wife and Brielle, and I love getting the pictures. I praise God for that. I'm so thankful, and I still hope and pray that one day, God willing, we'll all be able to meet. And again, kind of, you know, don't be disappointed I haven't been in touch as much. It's also been because I have been so focused on doing what God's been asking me to do and trying to train my son, which is taking a tremendous amount of time and effort. And, you know, that's added a whole thing to my life schedule that wasn't there before. Now I have my son every day. I have responsibility to help him, teach him, and so forth and so on. And so I've been quite busy, you know. But brother, please tell Shalini I said hello. And man, I love you guys both. Brother, keep living a life of faith. Trust this Lord. I've been warning people for years that things are going to get much, much worse. And as you can see, they are getting much, much worser. And I have recently said, coronavirus is not anything compared to what's coming. This is only just something to show people how unprepared they are. And it's like a small little wake-up call. But this is nothing compared to what's going to come, brother. So keep being prepared and keep holding this life loosely, because you're going to lose it. You might as well be the one to give it up rather than having God take it away from you. You don't get any credit. All these people that are losing their houses over cliffs and in floods and losing their cars and losing the houses in tornadoes in Nashville and the floods you guys had in New Zealand. God doesn't give any credit for the loss of the life through a natural disaster where you were unwilling to give it up. You only get credit, and it's only commendable in God's eyes when you do so in accordance with His will and because you are conscious of God and you want to please Him. So, brother, I love you. God bless you and keep you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I have got to go inside now and nurse myself back to health. I come out here and pray, and I'm usually sick by the time I'm done now because we have allergy season. And so I'm starting to get the headache and all of that, and the energy drain and the shortness of breath. But I'll never stop coming out to pray. So, all right, brother. God bless you guys. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.